T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Ron, let's go out to the Nemecolon fan hotline where we find our friend and yours, Mr. Paul Steigerwald. Steigy, I saw where Josh Yoey used a basketball analogy related to last night's game, and we appreciate you joining us, by the way. And I independently thought of a basketball analogy, too. It's like in the days of Michael Jordan, you know, you hold him down, you think you're holding him down, and then it's time to decide the game. And boom, it happens. And that was Connor McDavid to me last night. In key moments, in a split second, he just turned on the magic and was the best player on the ice. And I think he's the best player in the world.
I agree. And I said after the game on our post-game show that I thought, you know, that he's a game breaker, right? I mean, that's the definition of a game breaker, what you just said. He's a guy who can single-handedly change the course of a sporting event, whether it be in football, basketball, hockey, baseball, whatever it is. He's a game breaker, and he's the best game breaker in the world right now, maybe in any sport. And fun to watch. It's one thing to say that he's just entertaining in and of itself. What he does is entertaining, but he also, you know, helps you win by doing the things he does, and the Oilers are winning now. And I think what was interesting, though, about last night's game is that Zach Hyman was a big reason why they won, too. So it shows you that he's kind of the key that unlocks the greatness of, you know, Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, because he gives you that other dimension, kind of the way, in a way, sort of like the way Chris Kunitz was when he was at his peak. That's what he reminds me of. Plays a different kind of game. You've got to have guys like him to win, too.
Paul, I go back to the goal McDavid scored against the Rangers a couple weeks ago. Do you remember which one I'm talking about when he went through all five guys? And I remember texting back and forth with Jay Caulfield that night, and Caulfield just said, he said, despite the, in addition to the goal being absolutely incredible, he said, that's what great players do. They were losing by a goal with like 3 minutes left, and he made the play to tie the game. And Jay said he sees him doing stuff that no one has ever done before. I guess most people focus on his speed, right? That they say nobody has ever skated with the puck as fast as that kid does.
I agree. I think what he does, like when he ran the gauntlet against the Rangers, we saw Sid do that on a few occasions. I saw him do it against Montreal. I saw him do it against the Florida Panthers. I saw him do it against the Islanders one night in overtime to win a game almost identical, where he takes over in the neutral zone and he kind of catches the defenders flat-footed as he attacks. And but McDavid does it at even a greater rate of speed than Sid did, and that's saying something, because Sid was flying back then when he had those jets and he would run the gauntlet like he did. So McDavid's doing it on a regular basis because he's simply the fastest hockey player who's ever played the game. And I mean, and it isn't just, like you said, his speed skating. It's the ability to match foot speed with hand speed and brain speed. You put it all together, and he is an almost unstoppable force once he decides to take off with the puck. Another thing that I find interesting, guys, and I said this on the radio a couple times over the last week or so, you know, in hockey they talk about being above the puck. Stay above those guys, you know, so that you're in a position – where they have to come through you. Well, that doesn't work with Connor McDavid. He goes through you regardless of that. And what I think is an interesting observation on my part, and maybe just because I think outside the box sometimes when it comes to hockey, but I actually think that it's not the way to defend him is to, like, be up above him like that and flat-footed or in a sort of structured, you know, pylon-type position where he can just then blow right through everybody. You almost have to be skating in motion. You have to somehow get in a position where you can attack him with some kind of skating speed from a lateral position, something different from what teams are doing. And I think of what happened last night on the one play where Brian Dumoulin was a step behind, but he had an angle, and he was able to then attack Connor McDavid from a lateral position and prevent him from getting to the net. And I don't know how you do that, how you build that in, but if I was a coach, that's what I'd be looking for, ways to slow him down using lateral skating and defending from the flanks as opposed to being in a position where he's coming at you and you've got five guys all standing still. He just goes around you like you're a bunch of pylons.
Paul Steigerwald here on the Nemecolon Fan Hotline. Steiger, we've seen a million players. It feels to me like this happens in hockey. Maybe it's just me, but more than other sports, where a guy will tantalize you with talent. He'll score a beautiful goal or have a great week or something like that. And you always want more and you never get it. And I'm worried about that with Kasperi Kapanen, who's been basically invisible on this road trip so far. A couple games in a row here, Calgary and Edmonton. He's got three total shots, no points. He's minus one. But more, it's just the eye test. Like, where is he? What is he going to be? Does he need Geno in the middle to flourish? What do you think of him right now?
He's a puzzle because I thought he was going to be a really good player, and I'm concerned like you are. I hope he's not a one-trick pony, you know, like a guy that occasionally will blow down the wing and rifle one into the net, you know, but if he's not doing that, he's not scoring goals. Because if that's the case, then he's not as valuable as I thought he was. He needs to be able to score goals in a variety of ways. He can shoot the puck. He's got to learn to kind of play a cycling game and be able to get to the front of the net and get himself open and in position to score goals. And I just don't see him doing it. It's worrisome because he's supposed to be a weapon. And I am going to look like I don't know anything about hockey if he doesn't start scoring, because I thought he was going to be a star. And he certainly looked at the part at times last year, but it's not translating this year. And I don't know what the issue is, but you made a good point. I mean, it might be Geno. It might just be that he's a guy who requires a centerman of Geno's ilk, you know, to get him the puck, to create opportunities for him to get into space, to be able to score goals. That's the only thing I can think of, because I don't see him generating enough of himself, becoming enough of a scoring threat on a nightly basis, or even, you know, hey, listen, a couple shifts a game would be nice. I mean, if it was only a shift a game where he exploded and scored a goal, that would be fine by me. But, you know, he's not even doing that. So it's definitely worrisome.
I'll tell you another guy I'm worried about, Paul, is Dumoulin. What do you see when you're watching him play? You mentioned him last night. He had the angle on McDavid. He doesn't look like the same player to me. To you?
He seems to be maybe struggling a little bit. I'm not quite sure what it is with him. You know, he had to go through COVID, and he's had a lot of injuries in his career. I'm not sure. The thing about Dumoulin is that he's not a dynamic player. Like, you know, like the thing with Dumoulin, he's not going to wow you ever, like with offensive skill. He's always going to be good because he's in good defensive position and he defends well, you know, off the rush. He has good gap control. A lot of the little details of the game, he's got a good stick. You know, he reads the play well. It's all subtleties, you know, that he's really good at. And if he's not, you know, playing at an optimum level for him, then he's just going to look pretty ordinary. And I don't think you're ever going to see Brian Dumoulin doing things that make you go, oh, wow, what a player. It's more about kind of watching him closely and watching the little subtle things that he does. And maybe he's just a little bit off right now, and it's not clicking on all cylinders for him. That's the only thing I would say, because it's kind of hard to evaluate him, Ron, just because he isn't a guy who's going to, like, open your eyes. You know, the only time you'll notice him maybe is when he's making a mistake. And are you seeing him making a lot of mistakes? I suppose he's not as stout as you'd like him to be, but I don't think that he's terrible either. So I just think it's kind of blah right now with him.
Steige, interesting doings in the division here. And let it be noted that on the magical Friday after Thanksgiving, the Penguins were actually in playoff position. But I'm looking below them right now. And first, I'm looking at the Flyers. And they have now lost seven in a row. I can't believe we haven't heard today that there's a coaching change. What's going on there? Or a GM change? I wonder about Chuck Fletcher there.
I don't think the players like their coach. That's what I heard last year, and maybe it's coming home to roost again. They got off to a decent start, but maybe they're just not good enough. Maybe they're just not good enough, Joe. Some people think they should tear the whole thing down and start over. So they're having issues. I like Chuck Fletcher a lot. I wish him well because I do really like him as a person. And I don't know Alain Vigneault very well. I know that I heard last year that the players don't like him. So that could be part of it. Claude Giroux seems to be a problem there. But back to the Penguins, one thing I wanted to talk about a little bit with you guys was the shots on goal because, you know, the Penguins have been leading the league in shots on goal for a lot of the year. And that's not a good stat for the Penguins, apparently, because if you look at the games, like they had 45 against Jacob Markstrom and lost. They had 50 against Jake Allen and lost. You know, they had 46 against Dustin Tokarski, and they lost. They're really not finishing, and their shooting percentage is not what the Penguins' shooting percentage has been in other years. You know, the Penguins were a team often that would shoot the puck a lot fewer times than a lot of teams, but they would score on those shots, and they didn't need a lot of shots to score, and I'm not seeing that now. And you know what? I point to one thing, Joe, and you mentioned it earlier. I think it's Geno factor. I think you need Geno to kind of spark that part of the offense for the Penguins, where just by his mere presence, he creates a more dynamic offensive game for the Penguins, and they just don't have that right now. The shooting pucks, but they're not going in. And I think his return couldn't happen soon enough right now for the Penguins in terms of their offense.
The other team, real quick, Steige, I wanted to ask you about is the Islanders. What a story this is. What happened to them? They've lost eight in a row. They've scored seven goals in those eight games. They've been outscored 32-7. Are they going to bounce back?
Well, they lived on the edge last year, in terms of their goal scoring. They were one of the lower scoring teams in the league, but they've always been pretty good defensively. But they started off this year giving up more shots than any team in the league. They played their first 13 games on the road, and then they, unfortunately for them, they lost a lot of players to COVID. They went through a really, really tough spell where a ton of players were out of their lineup. So they just haven't been able to recapture their identity. What happens is when you start losing, you guys lose confidence. Then they lost Brock Nelson, who was their top scorer. We know he's a good player. So I guess to answer your question, Joe, I would say the Islanders just kind of hit a wall, and they haven't been able to break through that, and it may have ruined their whole season. You know, they could in the second half and they put something together and put some wins together, but you know, when you go into a season thinking you're a real contender and then everything falls apart, that can be really demoralizing, and I think that's probably what's happened with them.
Well, if I'm the Flyers, I'm hiring Rick Tocchet. What do you think of that, Paul?
Yes.
He is out there. Didn't I just see? I think they just inducted him into their Ring of Honor, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, he's a Flyer legend, right?
Yeah, but I would do the same, Ron. I mean, that's who I'd be looking at. I'd be looking at Rick Tocchet. And I don't know if Chuck Fletcher feels that way, but it may be that Chuck Fletcher might not be around much longer. You know, you know how the NHL is. Teams have to make moves when things go south like that because they have to be able to at least tell their fans that they're trying. And a lot of times they make those moves because of pressure from from the people who buy the tickets. And it wouldn't surprise me. And the Flyers have never been particularly patient. You know, their upper management doesn't have a lot of tolerance for what's happening right now. So I can't imagine it's going to go on much longer without them doing something.
I was just looking this up. Penguins fired Mike Johnston on December 12th, 2015. You're right, Ron. Rick Tocchet would absolutely inject life. If I were a Penguin fan, I would suddenly become fearful of the Flyers if he went in there.
I think he's a hell of a hockey guy and a hell of a coach. And, you know, he's a legend here, but he's also a legend in Philadelphia, too. Be perfect hire for them.
Steige, I think that would light that team up.
Well, I think it could. I mean, I think, you know, you're you have to understand and evaluate them from a personnel standpoint. I don't know how good they really are. That's the problem. I just don't. And I don't spend a lot of time analyzing them. But you know, I think that generally, if the coach is a problem, that's one thing. But you know, it's the old story. You still have to have the horses. And if Rick Tocchet came in there, I think the one thing he probably would do is create an environment for accountability to sort of reset the standard that the Flyers are noted for. He could hearken back to what the Flyers represent, their identity. They've kind of lost their identity. They might have to go back to being the Flyers again, you know, and because they've kind of drifted away from that image that they have, although they still play all the stuff they do on the antics that the Flyers have been noted for over the years on their scoreboard during games. They don't play that style of hockey anymore, and maybe a guy like Rick Tocchet would be the guy that they could bring in to kind of reinvigorate them in that regard and also sort of restore that Flyer tradition and legacy.
I'll leave it with this, Steigie, because I'm going to open up this conversation next with Ron. Where are we with Sidney Crosby? Where is he, I should say, in his career right now? Are we talking like, you know, a late career Steve Yzerman, who was his favorite player when Sid was a kid, where he sort of transformed his game into being, you know, more of a defensive guy who still can contribute offensively? Is he still a top five, top 10 player in the world? How would you analyze that?
I'm kind of in a wait and see mode on Sid right now for this year, because I've seen him go through these periods. I remember how bad he was in the first half of that season when Mike Johnston was the coach, and then when the Penguins made the coaching change, it was like they flipped a switch, and he played some of the best hockey he's played in years. So it's not like he's lost his legs or his brain or his ability to shoot the puck or any of that. He's not as fast. He doesn't have the competitive advantage of speed that he had when he was younger, like Connor McDavid has now, but he still can skate pretty well, and he's still got a lot of the attributes that he's always had. So I'm waiting for it to kind of all come together again. And I'm not sure what's going on with him. I think that in some ways, I think he's trying to be too creative, and he just needs to kind of be a bull in a construction, you know, bulldozer in a construction yard, as Mike Lang used to say, you know, and get in there and grind it out, go to the net and kind of get his nose a little bit dirtier. I feel like he's kind of become like a perimeter player where he's just trying to make perfect plays all the time. And they aren't there. And sometimes you just have to simplify the game, shoot the puck more, drive to the net. And having said all that, Joe, you know, you look at the statistics from last night, their line generated all the offense. You know, so Sid's line still, you know, tilts the scales in terms of scoring opportunities, shots on goal, and you know he's good defensively. So it's there, but it's just not I feel like it's not clicking at the rate that he's capable of making it click. And I'm hoping that is going to happen here sooner rather than later.
Thank you, Steigie.
See you, Paul. Thank you,
okay,
man.
Okay, guys. Take care.
Paul Steigerwald.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.